Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Well, Israel did it again, refusing to yield to demands of hijackers. You may recall the three Palestinians who seized the Dutch airliner with 81 persons aboard, threatening to blow it up unless Israel released 8 prisoners held in Israeli jails. Israel refused, and the hijackers surrendered rather than carry out their threats. How to deal with terrorism is a problem that is worldwide. When the United States and Britain called on the UN Security Council to condemn all terrorism, the motion was defeated. It seems nations bent on revolution accept terrorism as a way of life. On the other hand, the 9 members of the Common Market have pledged to prosecute terrorists or to extradite them for trial. There is a call for an international convention to combat terrorists' acts that involves a taking of hostages. It seems only right that the nation should be protected against such acts of violence. Harold Wilson, former British Prime Minister, has similarly called for the elimination of terroristic activities. Wilson recently declared, "We live in a world where strains on law and order within our several national communities are matched by the growth of one of the greatest threats to civilization, terrorism." Wilson, referring to hijacking, the bomb, the gun, declared these tools of terrorism, by their indiscriminate use, can destroy rather than solve the world's problems, particularly in the Middle East and Northern Ireland. What then is the solution? In Northern Ireland, we've seen efforts of conciliation, peace marches, attempts to heal the breach that threatens to destroy the country by acts of terrorism. As Ron Wilson reports from Northern Ireland, it is when people follow the scriptural formula and humble themselves and repent that healing will come.
Will you find people crossing the wall? Will you find people reaching out to the other side? For example, a group of Protestant young people trying to reach some Catholics. It's more among young people today that I've found it. One of the most quoted verses, scripture verses, in Northern Ireland today is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And Christians realize that they need this repentance, yet so often what they expect, I think, is that when they personally repent, the political situation is going to change, and it's very difficult for them to separate the two.
Well, acts of terrorism will stop only when those involved have a change of heart. Perhaps a most striking example is the conversion experience of Eldridge Cleaver, former head of the Black Panthers, who has confessed to becoming a Christian. The one-time revolutionary who plotted the overthrow and violent destruction of America now testifies to its greatness, saying the American political system is the freest and most democratic in the world. While admitting we have plenty of faults and our system needs to be improved, yet he praises our political system which permits such changes. Was this not the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? For it transforms lives, changes the hearts of men. Where there is hatred brings love, where there is animosity produces peace, where there is strife there can be tranquility. This does not mean that a Christian becomes a jellyfish-type individual. A real Christian can still be angry, but his anger is reflected against sin. Our Lord was quick to remind his followers they should love their enemies, but at the same time he could become annoyed, he could become angered with hypocrisy. Grabbing a cord of ropes, he could drive the money changers from the temple. There are some who suppose any attitude of sturdy emotions is wrong, but we should become worked up over wrongdoing. We should be upset with immorality and perversion, with immodesty and impropriety, as we see the laws of God violated. Of Jesus it was said that he loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. It's time we stop pussyfooting around and take a stand against sin and for righteousness. After all, are not Christians the salt of the earth, If we do not take a stand for what is right, we will fall for anything. Concerning acts of terrorism, the Israeli foreign minister has warned, if we do not unite against this kind of violence, we could lose our chance to survive as human beings. Israel has taken the lead to prevent hijackings. The last Israel-owned plane that was successfully hijacked was in 1968. If you were to visit Israel before boarding one of their planes, your baggage and your body would be subjected to a thorough search. Passengers are screened for traits of nervousness that may fit the skyjacker's profile, and doubtful passengers are refused tickets. They don't take any chances. A Paul Harvey news commentator in one of his syndicated news columns asks, have you wondered what would happen if the next time some gang of terrorists skyjacks an airliner full of people, and they demand that we release a bunch of their imprisoned comrades or else? He writes, suppose we just told those gangsters, for every one of those airline passengers you kill, we will kill 10 of your fellow fanatics. No, of course we won't do that, says Mr. Harvey. We're too civilized. He notes the Judeo-Christian ethic limits our behavior, public and private, to doing what's right. Now, the National Enquirer reports, terrorism is the biggest problem the United States is now facing. At least that's the observation of Gerald Ehrenberg, executive director of the American Federation of Police. Terrorist groups are increasing in number, he notes. He declares, I'm afraid we don't have all the answers we need to combat this threat of shootings, bombings, grabbing hostages, or holding a city to nuclear blackmail. We're told the chairman for the Law Enforcement Intelligence Units, Pat Henry, is also extremely worried about increased terrorist activity. He notes the picture's the same all over the country. Terrorist groups are increasing. They're much more clever than they were before. Their technology and tactics are better. There's no doubt that many of the terrorists receive their training in Cuba. Then he adds, bombings are symbolic for terrorists. And we're afraid there's going to be an increase in bombings and in the size of the bombs. We ask about the lawlessness existing, FBI Director Clarence Kelly had this to say.
There is no simple solution. There is, however, the possibility of progress. And a first critical step toward attaining this progress and to achieve this goal is individual involvement, active personal involvement in the struggle against the forces of lawlessness and injustice.
Well, the question comes, how should Christians react when confronted with terroristic activity? If confronted by a man with a gun or a knife or a razor blade or a bomb, what should be our reaction? Let me give some examples of what others have done in the midst of danger. In Indianapolis, the police were called upon when a fugitive wanted for burglary and grand larceny holed himself up in a room. When Police Sergeant Thomas Buckner and two other officers broke down the door, they found themselves staring into the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun. The gunman warned, "One move, cop, and I'll shoot." It was then that Sergeant Buckner noticed a Bible on the bed. "Have you read this good book?" inquired the sergeant, as he put his revolver back in its holster. He then picked up the Bible and began reading from its pages, all the while pleading for the man to drop his gun, to give up, to come with them. Finally, the man did throw down his gun. The man was taken to prison, but served only a short time, for he had become a changed individual. He later wrote to the police officer, "I can see now that what has happened that night was surely an act of God. It was a blessing for me because I'm now a free man. God has opened my eyes and given me wisdom so I can help others and lead them to Christ." At a Christian university in the Midwest, a young co-ed was grabbed, thrown to the ground by her attacker. Instead of screaming in terror, the girl cried out, "My body is the temple of God. If you attack me, God will hold you responsible." The man froze in his tracks and then fled. He was later apprehended and jailed. Well, this girl had friends call on the man in prison to tell him his life could be changed, transformed by the grace of God. At first he thought they were kidding, but soon he saw they were interested in his soul. The students formed teams to pray for this man, It wasn't long before he made a profession of faith in Christ. Once a Greyhound bus pulled into Daytona Beach, Florida. A passenger pulled a gun, ordered the driver, "Take me to Tampa or I'll shoot you." A fellow passenger began preaching to the man, and within minutes he dropped his gun and was later led off to jail. Said the preaching passenger, who was a member of a Baptist church in Miami, the teachings of the Word of Jesus were enough to make his hand go limp. Well, time doesn't permit other incidents of how terrorists were disarmed by the Word of God. But we're reminded as believers in the power of God that there are weapons which we have which are more powerful than guns or ammunition. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 we read, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Ah, did you hear it? How wonderful to have the protection of Almighty God. The name of Jesus is a weapon when confronted with attacks of violence. A young girl, when assaulted, addressed the evil power within the man, saying, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." "What's rebuke?" he asked. Trying to keep her voice steady, she replied, "I mean that Jesus Christ is absolute authority on this earth, that I'm under his protection." "I did not know," he replied, and released her unharmed. Ah, yes, according to the Bible, there's coming a time when lawlessness will prevail across the world, and one shall rule called the Lawless One, the Antichrist. Jim Grant, writing in Moody Monthly, pictures that day as finding men roaming the streets like packs of dogs. Well, surely we're fast approaching that day. And the only hope of escape, my friends, as we understand it, is the coming again of Jesus Christ for his own. What we might see until then we do not know, but we realize there is a power within us through the indwelling Holy Spirit, a power greater than the power of Satan. This does not mean we may not be martyred, but it means that God's protection, his preservation, can be ours in the midst of terrorism. Many facing violence and death have claimed the promise, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." A far greater terror than what we might face from men is that which we would face when we stand before God and must give an account of the lives that we live and the deeds that are done. Indeed, how terrible to stand there knowing we rejected the grace of God, turning our backs on the love and forgiveness wrought on Calvary through Jesus Christ. What shall we answer if we continue in our sins, rather than to accept the Savior from sin? Thus the Apostle Paul writes, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Ah, better to face the terror of men than to stand unprepared in the face of God, in the presence of God, particularly in the day when our Lord shall come again. Thus our Lord is urged as saying, "Be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.